So, as was pointed out last time,
así como lo estuve diciendo la última vez,
by our friend,
por nuestro amigo,
that we don't prove what's true
nosotros no probamos lo que es verdad,
by reference to church history,
por referenciar a la historia de la iglesia.
It is worth noting, though,
vale la pena mencionarlo,
when in the history of Christianity certain things were taught. But now I want to go back to the Bible, and I want to have a discussion about the scriptural basis for certain teachings. One of the sisters gave me a little pamphlet. Had this four spiritual laws. I didn't realize I had a slide that contains them. So, I'll tell a story. Our daughter was in, I think, eighth grade. And she went to a youth group for another church. And we thought, well, she's in eighth grade, how could that hurt? Her friends went there, so why not? But then one night, the leaders of the group said, tonight, all of you are going to become a Christian. So he taught them the four spiritual laws. And he said, let's say this prayer together. And my daughter refused to do it. And they put peer pressure on her. Don't you want to be a Christian? And my daughter said, oh, that's false doctrine. So I was pretty proud of her. But obviously those who teach that we pray Jesus into our heart, that baptism is merely a symbol, they have scriptural defense of their beliefs. I find these arguments to be quite shallow, honestly. But we need to talk about them. So I'm going to mention three of them right now. One of their arguments is, well, look at the thief on the cross. He was saved. And he wasn't baptized. That proves you don't need to be baptized to be saved. Now, to be honest with you, this argument is so weak, I'm tempted to laugh. But don't do that. That's disrespectful. But there's a few problems with that. By the way, in my book, titled In Christ, I have a chapter on exceptions. There are exceptions. There are going to be people in heaven who weren't baptized into Christ. There's exceptions. Like Moses. Was Moses baptized into Christ? How about, Isaiah? Right? How about, Mary's cousin Elizabeth? I don't know. David. So there are exceptions. Now, don't tell your baby Christian about the exceptions, okay? Let them understand the basics first, okay? But the fact is, no one was saved by baptism before the death and resurrection of Jesus, obviously. So this argument is wrong on so many points. Because it says in Romans 6,
porque dice en Romanos 6
that baptism
que el bautismo
is a participation
dice que es una participación
in the death and resurrection of Christ.
En la muerte y resurrección de Cristo.
And if someone has not been, if Jesus had was not dead yet, then that wouldn't work. You say, what about the baptism of John? What about that? Weren't they saved? Well, what it says, it was a baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Now, isn't the forgiveness of sins the same as salvation? We need to define our words very carefully. Let me give you a helpful definition of what I think it means to be saved. To be saved, in the New Testament sense, is to be forgiven of our sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that was not offered until Pentecost. By my definition, David was not saved. And Moses was not saved. And neither was the thief on the cross saved. So, again, I wouldn't talk about this with a young Christian. I wouldn't separate forgiveness from salvation. That could be really confusing, you know what I mean? But my definition of salvation in Christianity, that's a person who's been baptized into Christ, forgiven of their sins, and received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in Ephesians chapter 1, that the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our salvation. If He is living in us, how do you translate that? I don't know. Okay? So the thief on the cross, Jesus said, you're forgiven. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Those who went through the baptism of John, at that time were forgiven. Does that mean that they'll be in heaven? I hope so. They didn't have the Holy Spirit in them. So this argument about the thief on the cross is a silly argument. Besides, let's say Jesus said, okay, thief, you need to be baptized. The thief says, sorry, I shouldn't joke. But, I mean, he obviously couldn't be baptized. So what if somebody believes in Jesus, repents of their sin, makes him Lord, and they're in the middle of the Gobi Desert, and there's no water for 1,000 miles, so they can't get baptized, and they die? Do they go to hell? God is way bigger than this issue, okay? Don't make foolish arguments to prove your point. The question is not whether there's an exception. The question is, what does the Bible teach? So there are many reasons why the thief on the cross doesn't really make any sense. Jesus hadn't died yet. He couldn't be baptized into Christ. Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead yet. So was that thief saved? It depends on your definition, actually. That may be hard to hear, but that's my response. But I know he did not become a Christian. And of course, there's in Acts 19, same thing, right? The people who have been baptized, the baptism of John. And they said, did you receive the indwelling Holy Spirit? They said, we don't even know about that. What's the first thing they thought? If they haven't received the Holy Spirit, that means there's a problem with their baptism. Oh, they had the baptism of John. Were these people saved? Well, I don't know. All I know is, when they got baptized into Christ, they received the indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit. Had they already been forgiven of their sins? Yeah, I guess. We don't have to worry about that. We don't have that problem. We don't meet people who are baptized into John. That's okay. Okay, and the next one. There aren't a lot of scriptures people use to support the four spiritual laws. They actually support it with their theology, which is Calvinism. But I'm going to discuss that in detail tomorrow. But so the next passage they use to defend the sinner's prayer, you guys know this. It's in Revelation chapter 3, right? Okay. It says it right here. I mean, behold, I stand at the door and knock. All right, verse 20. Apocalypse 3, versículo 20.
Yeah.
19 through 20, I guess, yeah.
19
and 20. So this is how we're saved. Jesus, come into my heart. I mean, Jesus said it right here. If you pray, I'll come into your heart. This is great proof that the sinner's prayer works. But there's a big problem. Because who was this written to? It was written to people who were already saved, yes? It was written to the church in Laodicea. And they were having some problems. They were lukewarm Christians. They needed to repent. So to quote this scripture about how to be saved, when it's written to people who are already saved, that doesn't make much sense. I don't think so. So there's another one. Another one. The most famous, right? John 3:16. That proves that the four spiritual laws and praying the spirit, the sinner's prayer is true. Yeah, this one is used a lot. John 3:16. I think we can probably quote that one from memory.
Yo creo que la mayoría podemos mencionarla de memoria.
But we have a great
Bible right here. De tal manera amó Dios al mundo, que dio a su Hijo unigénito para que todo aquel que cree en Él no se pierda, sino que tenga vida eterna.
A little fun fact.
Un poquito, algo divertido.
I've got one of these red letter versions.
Tengo una de esas letras con letra roja.
And the red letters stop after verse 15.
Y la letra roja se detiene después del versículo, antes del versículo 15.
So when did the words of Jesus stop?
¿Cuándo se detuvieron las palabras de Cristo?
And when did John's comments start?
¿Y cuándo el comentario de Juan empieza?
That's a fun question.
Es una pregunta interesante.
Whoever made this version thinks that this is John talking, not Jesus. That's just a fun fact. The answer is, I have no idea. You know what? It's in the Bible. So whether it's Jesus speaking, or John explaining what Jesus said, under inspiration, it doesn't matter. Phew. Another thing, not to show you're young Christian, you know. They get so confused. Did Jesus say this or not? Anyway, doesn't matter. Ignore what I just said. What's it say right here? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And our Pray Jesus Into Your Heart friend says, do you believe that? I say, yes. I believe, he says. I believe totally in my heart. And Jesus said right here, or maybe John, that if you believe, you'll have eternal life. So that's all we need to do. All we need to do is believe. That sounds pretty convincing. Except you have to go back about 10 verses. Because what did Jesus say? Let me see. Let's read verse 3 through 7.
Leamos del versículo 3 al 7. Dice, Jesús le contestó, en verdad te digo que el que no nace de nuevo no puede ver el reino de Dios. Nicodemo le dijo, ¿cómo puede un hombre nacer siendo ya viejo? ¿Acaso puede entrar por segunda vez en el vientre de su madre y nacer? Jesús respondió, en verdad te digo que el que no nace de agua y del espíritu no puede entrar en el reino de Dios. Lo que es nacido de la carne, carne es, y lo que es nacido del espíritu, espíritu es. No te asombres de que te haya dicho, tienen que nacer de nuevo.
So Jesus said, unless you're born again of the water and the Spirit, you'll definitely not be entering the kingdom of God. So do you think Jesus sort of forgot what he said 5 minutes ago? Is Jesus confused? So the same chapter here in John, it says anyone who believes in him will have eternal life. But it also says unless you're born again of the water and the Spirit, you will not enter the kingdom. So it seems like we have to read the whole Bible and not take scissors and cut little parts out. So apparently the belief that Jesus is talking about includes being born again of the water and of the Spirit. Now here's a fun question. Jesus says to Nicodemus, you should have known this. You should have known that you need to be born again of the water and the Spirit. You're a Pharisee, why don't you know this? I always wondered, what scripture is he using here? Ezekiel 36. Which says very clearly, there's going to come a time with receiving the water and the Spirit. And so when Peter says in Acts chapter 2, be baptized, and then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Nicodemus could say, sorry, I should have remembered Ezekiel chapter 36. So the question is, what belief are we talking about? Now, our friends, they are our friends, that pray Jesus into your heart, they say, but we're saved by grace, not by works. So if you were to associate any work with salvation, that would be heresy. And so they believe in salvation by faith alone. Where did this doctrine of salvation by faith alone come from? Who invented that doctrine? His name was Martin Luther. He said we're saved by grace alone. Amen. He said we have the truth from the Bible alone. Amen. And he said we're saved by faith alone. Where did he find that? Actually, when he translated the book of Romans, when it said salvation is by faith, he added the German learned word alone. It's not in the Greek, but he just put that in there. And he said, the book of James, that's like a book of straw. It has nothing to do with the gospel. You know why? Because he didn't like James chapter 2. So I absolutely agree that anyone who believes shall not perish but have eternal life. But the question is, what kind of belief are we talking about? Now, did Jesus ever connect work with salvation? Yes, he did. Absolutely, he did. In John 6:29.
Y dice así, Jesús le respondió, esta es la obra de Dios, que crean en el que Él ha enviado.
Let's read verse 28 also for the context.
El versículo 28 dice, entonces le preguntaron, ¿qué debemos hacer para poner en práctica las obras de Dios? Jesús le respondió, esta es la obra de Dios, que crean en el que Él ha enviado.
So, he asked Jesus, what are the works that are required? Jesus says, none. We're saved by faith alone. We're saved by grace alone. No, that's not what he said. He said, the work is to believe. Now, let me ask you a question. Is repentance something we do? Yeah. Is believing something we do?
es creer algo que hacemos.
That's a hard question. I don't even know how to answer that question. I personally believe that faith is something we do, but it's also a gift. I don't know how to explain that. Because if it weren't for God's grace, we could never have believed. But Jesus says, believe. In fact, that's the work you need to do to have eternal life. Now, is baptism a work? No, definitely not. I mean, does God require us to do something in order to be saved? Make Jesus Lord. That's doing something. Put your faith in Him. That's doing something. Repent of your sins. That's doing something. And be baptized. That's not doing anything. In fact, even look at the language. Se baptizado. Not bautizo su mismo, or se baptizado. Did you know the Jews did a lot of baptisms? Jan and I have witnessed them when we were in Israel. They had their mikvahs. They would do these baptisms. And some of them would do it every day. Now here's how a Jewish baptism works. They baptized themselves. So when did that change? Who made baptism something done to you? Was it Jesus? It was John the Baptist. He changed the mode of baptism to something that's done to you. Now, this is my opinion. Just my opinion. I think God did that for a reason. Because He wanted us to understand that the moment of salvation, it's God doing all the work. Okay? In fact, that's what it says in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. This idea that baptism is a work and therefore can't possibly be a part of salvation is wrong for two very big reasons. First, it's not a work. It's not a work. It's not something you do. You literally can't do it. It's done to you. And like I said, I believe God did this for a reason. I don't have a scripture. I don't have a scripture that says that's why. But what does it say in Colossians 2? Verse 11 and 12.
Colosenses 2, versículo 11 y 12 dice, también en él ustedes fueron circuncidados con una circuncisión no hecha por manos, al quitar el cuerpo de la carne mediante la circuncisión de Cristo, habiendo sido sepultados con él en el bautismo, en el cual también han resucitado con él por la fe en la acción del poder de Dios que lo resucitó de entre los muertos.
So it says it quite clearly here. It says baptism, like I already said, is a spiritual circumcision. It's not the removal of physical flesh. It's the removal of spiritual flesh. And it's done by Christ. It's a work.
Es una obra.
You're right.
Es correcto.
Baptism is a work.
Bautismo es una obra.
A work of God.
Una obra de Dios.
And I believe God makes it a passive thing on purpose.
Cuando, yo creo que en propósito Dios hace como una obra pasiva.
So, really, this is the basic proof.
Realmente esta es la prueba básica.
The thief on the cross is, that's a silly argument anyway.
El ladrón en la cruz es un argumento tonto.
And Revelation 3:20, that's not a very good argument anyway. But this really is their argument. That we're saved by faith alone. And that was the fundamental doctrine of the Reformation. That defines the Reformation. One problem. It's not true. Okay, because the Bible says that we're saved by... Let's do this. Let's read Ephesians 2.
Leamos Ephesians 2.
Ephesians 2.
Ephesians
2. Verses 8.
Versículo 8.
Through 10.
Al 10. Dice, porque por gracia ustedes han sido salvados por medio de la fe. Y esto no procede de ustedes, sino que es don de Dios. No por obras para que nadie se gloríe. Porque somos hechura suya, creados en Cristo Jesús para hacer buenas obras, las cuales Dios preparó de antemano para que anduviéramos en ellas.
Now, I don't know what Bible study series you guys do here, but we have one called the Salvation Study or something like that.
No sé cómo son la serie de estudios que dan aquí, pero tenemos uno que le llaman el estudio de salvación.
And we start with this one right here.
Y comenzamos con esta escritura.
And I say, we're going to talk about salvation now, right?
Vamos a llegar a la salvación, ¿verdad?
And this is the most important scripture on this salvation.
Y esta es la escritura más importante en cuanto a la salvación.
If you forget this one,
si olvidas esta escritura,
the other ones, they're not so important.
Las otras no son tan importantes.
We're saved by grace.
Somos salvos por gracia.
Through faith.
A través de la fe.
Not by works.
No por obras.
No work you do could get you saved.
No hay una sola obra que puedas hacer para salvarte.
It's like if you want to jump across the Grand Canyon.
Es como si quieres brincar a través del cañón, Gran Cañón.
You say, I can jump 5 feet.
Puedo brincar 5 pies.
So I'm going to start working out.
Pero voy a empezar a hacer ejercicio.
Do some deep knee bends and
para prepararme.
Some sprints.
Para hacer algunos ejercicios.
And then I'm going to jump across the Grand Canyon.
Y voy a brincar a través del Gran Cañón.
No amount of effort gets you across the Grand Canyon.
No hay nadie que pueda cruzar el Gran Cañón así.
And no work gets you saved.
Ni una sola obra te salva.
In fact, no work gets you even closer to saved than you were before you did the work.
No hay ni una sola obra que te haga más cercano a la salvación antes de que hicieras la obra.
Nothing is more biblical than that.
No hay nada más bíblico que eso.
If you surrender your body to the flames,
si sometes tu cuerpo a las llamas,
give all your money to the poor,
das todo tu dinero a los pobres,
fast for 40 days,
ayunas por 40 días,
and share your faith with 10,000 people,
compartes tu cuerpo con 10,000 personas,
you're no more saved than if you'd never done any of those things.
No eres más salvo de que si no hubieras hecho nada de eso.
That's what the Bible teaches.
Es lo que la Biblia enseña.
But,
pero,
does the Bible teach that no work is required?
La Biblia enseña que no hay una obra requerida.
Does it say that you don't have to do any works?
Dice que no tienes que hacer ninguna obra.
Does it say that no work is required for salvation?
Dice que ninguna obra es requerida para salvación.
No, that's not what it says.
No es lo que dice.
For example,
por ejemplo,
Jesus said one work you need to do.
Jesús dijo, una obra tienes que hacer.
Is believe. Also, you need to make Jesus Lord.
También tienes que hacer a Jesús tu Señor.
You need to confess
tienes que confesar
Him as Lord.
Que Jesús es Señor.
You need to repent.
Tienes que arrepentirte.
These are works. So let's go to James. You know where we're going, right? We're going to go to James 2. Obviously, you know we're going to James 2. That's the one that, by the way, when Luther published his Bible, in the first edition, he took James out and put it as an appendix. But so many people complained, he put it back in the next edition. He didn't really like what James had to say here. This is so familiar, we almost don't need to read it. But let's read it anyway. James 2 verses 14 through 26.
¿De qué sirve, hermanos míos, si alguien dice que tiene fe pero no tiene obras? ¿Acaso puede esa fe salvarlo? Si un hermano o una hermana no tienen ropa y carecen de sustento diario y uno de ustedes les dice, vayan en paz, caliéntense y sáciense, pero no les dan lo necesario para su cuerpo, ¿de qué sirve? Así también, por la fe, por sí misma, si no tiene obras, está muerta. Pero alguien dirá, tú tienes fe y yo tengo obras. Muéstrame tu fe, sin las obras, y yo te mostraré mi fe por mis obras. Tú crees que Dios es uno. Haces bien, también los demonios creen y tiemblan. Pero ¿estás dispuesto a admitir, oh hombre vano, que la fe sin obras es estéril? ¿No fue justificado por las obras Abraham, nuestro padre, cuando ofreció a su hijo Isaac sobre el altar? Ya ves que la fe actuaba juntamente con sus obras y como resultado de las obras la fe fue perfeccionada y se cumplió la escritura que dice y Abraham creyó a Dios y le fue contado por justicia. Fue llamado amigo de Dios una vez que el hombre es justificado por las obras y no solo por fe. De la misma manera, ¿no fue la ramera Rahab también justificada por las obras cuando recibió a los mensajeros y los envió por otro camino? Porque así como el cuerpo sin el espíritu está muerto, así también la fe sin las obras está muerta.
So Martin Luther says,
así que Martín Lutero dijo,
we're saved by faith alone.
Somos salvos solamente por la fe sola.
James only added one word.
Santiago solamente agregó una palabra.
We're not saved by faith alone.
No somos salvos por la fe solamente.
Who are you going to believe?
¿A quién vas a creer?
James?
Santiago?
Or Martin Luther?
Well, Martin Lutero.
I'm going to go with James.
Yo me voy con Santiago.
So, Jesus said,
Jesús dijo,
whoever believes,
quien quiera que crea,
this is how much God loved the world,
es como yo los, cuando tú los
that whoever believes
cualquiera que crea,
will have eternal life.
Tendrá vida eterna.
So the demon says,
pero el demonio dijo,
I hate Jesus.
Yo odio a Jesús.
I want to destroy your faith.
Quiero destruir tu fe.
But they believe in Jesus.
Pero creían en
right? Even the demons believe.
Aún los demonios creyeron.
Right? And our Muslim friends believe in Jesus.
Nuestros amigos musulmanes creen en Jesús.
Right? Even a lot of Hindus believe in Jesus.
Muchos hindúes creen en Jesús.
So what kind of belief is required for salvation? What kind of faith is required for salvation? Well, let's let the Bible speak. It says, faith without deeds is dead. So we have a conflict. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, and James 2, 14 through 26. Which is true.
¿Cuál es verdad?
Of course they're both true.
Claro que los dos son verdad.
But here's something I like to do.
Aquí hay algo que me gusta hacer.
When I come across statements in the Bible
cuando, me encuentro con situaciones así de la Biblia,
that seem to almost conflict in a way,
que aparentemente se conflictúan una con otra,
I know the Bible is inspired by God. That much I know for sure. I know the Bible's inspired by God.
Sí, yo sé que la Biblia está inspirada por Dios, eso estoy seguro.
And God is not confused.
Y Dios no es confuso.
And Jesus was not confused in John chapter 3.
Y Jesús no estaba confundido en Juan 3.
So I asked myself, which is the more fundamentally true thing?
Y me pregunto, ¿cuál es de las verdades la más fundamental?
So on the one hand it says,
por un lado dice,
we're saved by grace through faith and not by works.
Dice que somos salvos por fe y no por obras.
But it also says,
por otro lado dice,
we're not saved by faith apart from works.
Dice, no somos salvos por fe fuera de las obras.
So I ask myself, which is the more fundamental? Which is the building block? Which is the one we need to start with? Ephesians 2:8 through 10, or James 2:14 through 26. I say Ephesians 2. That's the basic fundamental truth. And I have to understand James 2 in light of that. That's where we start. We're saved by grace. Through faith. And all of our works are like filthy rags, like Isaiah said. If we forget that, then all the works, they're human works. They're trying to save ourselves. But if we understand that salvation is all of God, 100%, and God says, you want to be saved? You say, yeah. He says, well then, do this. And we say, yeah. I'll jump 100 times or maybe I'll repent and be baptized. Right, they asked Peter, what should we do? He said, nothing. We're saved by grace through faith. Not by works. So just receive Christ. In your heart. I mean, the thief did it just, you know, a few days ago. The thief did it just... But that's not what he said. Nowhere does the Bible say they don't have to do anything. It just says doing something won't save you. Okay? So that's my response. So this pray Jesus into your heart thing, and involves two really bad mistakes. Number one, it means that baptism is a work, which is the very basis for the argument, but it's definitely not a work. Except, well, God is working. The second is that salvation is by faith alone. But that's certainly not true. Now the next question is, why do they believe in salvation by faith alone? That brings me to Calvinism. So I'm not going to talk about it right now. Unless you ask me a question. Okay, so that's my response to this false doctrine about salvation. So to summarize, baptism is not how we're saved. The grace of God, the blood of Jesus, working with our faith, that's how we're saved. Are we saved by baptism? Yeah, I mean, 1 Peter 3 says that. But we're saved by Jesus. But one thing I can say without a doubt, ignoring those exceptions, is that baptism is when we're saved. There's no clearer teaching in the Bible than that. There's no more clear teaching in the Bible than that. It's because it's when we come into Christ. It's when we participate in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And, you know, church history demonstrates these alternative teachings. Again, it doesn't prove anything, it's just history, right? But it demonstrates that these were not taught by the apostles. Or apparently by anybody the apostles taught. In fact, the idea that baptism is merely a symbol was not taught for 1,500 years. The idea that you ask Jesus into your heart was invented almost exactly 200 years ago. And also the arguments for these doctrines fall apart, as I showed you. Alright, that was kind of a short lesson, but that's all I have. I think. Yeah, that's it. Okay, any questions? Yeah.
So when I talk to somebody and they tell me that our doing things doesn't save us, and they tell me that when you get baptized, it's not a thing you have to do. But I tell them, it's like when you go and drive a car, you learn how to drive a car. You know how to drive a car. You buy your car, but you can drive it unless you have a driver's license.
Okay.
That's my example now.
Okay.
Telling them that they need to be baptized. Is that okay?
Le dijo pues que él a veces se topa con gente que dice que no necesita ser bautizado y el argumento que él utiliza es como puedes saber manejar, puedes tener un carro, puedes tener todo, pero no puedes manejar hasta que no tengas tu licencia de manejar. Puede estar preguntándole a John si es un buen argumento a utilizar.
That's a good argument.
Es un buen argumento.
But I like the marriage example better.
Pero me gusta más el ejemplo del matrimonio.
Because people drive before they have their driver's license. And I'm sure, you know, 100 years ago, they didn't even have driver's licenses. So that's a good one. But I prefer the marriage one because it applies so well. Because the driver's license is not a covenant. It's kind of a covenant, but it can be revoked. So I agree. Until you have that driver's license, you can't drive. Although people do all the time. Yeah. Good. Yeah.
Paul finds the baptism that not received the baptism.
Y Pablo les impone las manos.
Paul puts hands on them.
Para recibir el Espíritu Santo.
So they can receive the Holy Spirit.
La pregunta es, ¿ellos se bautizaron de nuevo en agua? ¿O por qué dice, se bautizaron en el nombre del Señor Jesús?
Yeah.
The question is, were they baptized again in water? Because he said they received the Spirit.
Right, a very common question.
Es una pregunta muy común.
And it's an obvious question, like, what's going on here?
Es una pregunta muy obvia de cómo, ¿qué está pasando aquí?
There are three manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts.
Tres manifestaciones del Espíritu Santo en el libro de Hechos.
One of them I mentioned last night.
Una de ellas la mencioné anoche.
The spontaneous outpouring of the Spirit.
El derramamiento espontáneo.
That was prophesied.
Que fue profetizado.
In Isaiah.
En Isaías.
In Joel.
En Joel.
By Jesus.
Por Jesús.
By, yeah. And, but that event was repeated.
Pero ese evento se repitió.
At Cornelius' house.
En la casa de Cornelio.
Nobody did anything.
Nadie hizo nada.
Just completely God does this.
Aquí completamente Dios lo hace.
And it's accompanied by miracles.
Y es acompañado por milagros.
And speaking in languages.
Hablando en lenguas.
As far as I know, that's not ever happened since, not even one time.
Hasta donde yo sé, eso nunca más ha vuelto a suceder, hasta donde yo sé.
Not that I know of.
No que yo sepa.
So that was God planned that event long before.
Dios planeó ese evento antes.
It's like the trumpet for the beginning of the last days.
Es como la trompeta cuando comienzan los últimos días.
And the preaching of the gospel.
La predicación del evangelio.
And the receiving of salvation.
La recepción del espíritu de la salvación.
That's number one.
Es la uno.
Number two.
Número dos.
Is in Acts 2, verse
38.
By the way, that one was not for everybody.
Por cierto, eso no fue para todos.
The first one was only for the apostles in that one time.
La primera fue solo por los apóstoles en aquella vez.
Second time was, I guess, for Cornelius' family.
La segunda fue para la familia de Cornelio.
Not for everybody.
No para todos.
The second one is in Acts 2, 38.
La segunda es en Hechos 2, 38.
It's a promise.
Una promesa.
For who?
¿Para quién?
For all who are far off.
Para todos aquellos que están lejos.
For all who the Lord our God will call.
Para todos aquellos a quien el Señor nuestro Dios llamará.
Which is, make Jesus Lord.
Que hacer a Jesús tu Señor.
Repent of your sins.
Arrepentirse.
Be baptized into Christ.
Te bautizar en Cristo.
You receive this Holy Spirit.
Y recibes este Espíritu Santo.
Which is a deposit.
Es un depósito.
Guaranteeing your salvation. Which I believe defines who's even saved.
Yo creo que define quién es salvo.
But then there's a third thing about the Holy Spirit.
Tercera cosa del Espíritu.
It shows up first in Acts chapter 8.
Se muestra en Hechos 8.
And these were the miraculous gifts.
Y esos fueron los dones milagrosos.
The charisms.
The
charisms. And so, so you have Philip going to Samaria. And he performs some miracles. Maybe healings. Maybe speaking in tongues. And the people are getting baptized. And they can't do those. Why? Well, they were baptized into Christ. They received the indwelling spirit, but they didn't have the ability to work miracles. But in the early church, those were very helpful. It mentions that in Hebrews chapter 2. These miracles testified that the message was from God. But Philip says, I have the gifts,
pero algunos dicen, yo tengo un don,
but I can't give them to you.
Pero no te los puedo dar a ti.
Why not?
¿Por qué no?
Well, because he wasn't an apostle.
Porque no era un apóstol.
So he sends some apostles.
Pero por eso mandó algunos apóstoles.
The apostles come,
los apóstoles llegan,
lay their hands,
ponen sus manos,
and gifts of the Spirit were given.
Y dones del Espíritu fueron dados.
And I think that's what happened here in Acts chapter 19.
Eso creo que fue lo que pasó en Hechos 19.
Now, I wish
ahora, yo desearía
that he put verse 6 like 20 verses later. Because it is a little confusing.
Porque es un poquito confuso.
Right? You're confused.
Tú estás confundido.
I've been confused also.
Yo también estaba confundido.
But I have to go by the Bible, okay? And I know this.
Yo sé esto.
When they were baptized into Christ,
Cristo,
they received the gift of the Holy Spirit.
El don del Espíritu Santo.
What they did not receive is the gift of tongues and prophecy, which apparently were given through laying on of hands by apostles. Did anybody else have the ability to give those gifts? I see him saying no. I say, I don't know. I'd rather be humble about that. Because the Bible doesn't say nobody else could, right? So I say, I don't know. But that's what I think. But I might be wrong. But either way, whether that was the case or not, that's what's happening here. Paul had the ability to give miraculous gifts. In fact, he said to Timothy, fan into flame the gift that was given you when I lay my hands on you. To Timothy, he said, give air to the flame of when I laid my hand on you. So, definitely not every Christian is promised this. In fact, I don't think anybody is promised this. This was not a promise to anybody. The indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit is a promise to everybody. The miraculous gifts is a promise to nobody that I know of. And so that's what's going on there. But yeah, when you read verse 5 and verse 6, that could be confusing. Of course they were. Obviamente. Well, they've been baptized the baptism of John for forgiveness of sins. But they hadn't received the gift of the Holy Spirit. So they said, all right, we're going to have another baptism right here.
Yeah.
Certainly they were baptized in water. Because that's what baptism in Christ is.
Right?
Baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus, Acts 2:38, as far as I know, involves water. With the Ethiopian eunuch, he went down into the water and came up out of the water. I mean, it's implied. Yeah, on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, so it was in water. It's the only way to do it I've ever heard of. It's the only, by the way, Sikhs, they use milk. I shouldn't even say that as a joke, but it's true. Right.
There were two baptisms, same person, same.
Right. They've been baptized through John's ministry.
Yeah. But they were baptized again.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That was the
question. Yes, it's the only possible interpretation. Right, because baptism into Christ involves water. That's definitely for sure. And then after their baptism, a little confusing, Paul gave them the miraculous gifts. That's the second thing that he did. Okay? Yeah. Good. Any other questions? Yeah.
He says Jesus was baptized in water, but also in fire.
Right, but the baptism in fire is not literal. The baptism in fire is metaphorical. Right? It's about suffering. And The apostles went through a baptism of fire as well. Almost all of them were martyred. I don't know if I want to go through a baptism of fire. But that is a metaphor. In Ephesians 4, when it says there's one baptism, well, technically that's actually not true. But what it means is the church has one baptism. That's in water. Obviously, that's what they're talking about. But yeah, sure, there's the baptism of fire. There's the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. Receiving the miraculous gifts is never called a baptism that I know of. Yeah. Jan, the question.
So why do some Pentecostals say that they have to be baptized into Jesus only?
The
oneness.
Actually, Pentecostals have a couple of problematic teachings. And it really goes back to John Wesley, who taught you have to have this holiness experience. And then in 1905 in Los Angeles, they had this revival. And they had this speaking in tongues thing that led to the Pentecostal movement. So one thing that Pentecostals usually teach is the miraculous gifts is baptism of the Holy Spirit. But the Bible doesn't teach that. But that's not what Jan is asking about. Now, there are two kinds of Pentecostals. There's a lot of Pentecostals, by the way. The fastest growing religious movement in history. And we can learn a few things from the Pentecostals. They're doing something right. But very early on in the Pentecostal movement, they split into two groups. And the smaller group is called Oneness Pentecostals.
Oneness.
And they teach what's a big fancy word, modalism? Modalismo? This is the false theology that the Father and the Son and the Spirit, they're just one person. So sometimes God comes as Father. Other times he comes as Son. And other times he comes as Spirit. But that's just one person. They don't believe that there's three persons, if you will. So this is roughly 20 or 25% of all Pentecostals. And I'm sure you have them here. They tend to be the ones who wear weird clothes and be more removed from society. If you have a Pentecostal friend who's like, wow, that's almost weird. It's a good chance they're oneness Pentecostals. One way you can tell, it seems like they can't finish the sentence without saying, in the name of Jesus. 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 If you hear that almost every sentence,
escuchas eso cada frase que digan,
it's probably a oneness Pentecostal.
Es muy probablemente un unitario.
And they deny the Trinity.
Y ellos niegan la Trinidad.
Which I think is heresy, actually.
Creo yo que es una heresía.
Wow. So, that's that. So, here's the thing. In Acts chapter 2, it says, baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. And they say, if you're not baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, then you're not a Christian. In other words, if you follow the formula given by Jesus, in Matthew 28:18-20, then you're not even a Christian. Because what did Jesus say? Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And remember I mentioned they would do three baptisms? Because they had kind of like oneness Pentecostals back then too. There's modalism. And there are other names for this teaching. So anyway, you probably know some people. Where we live, there are a number of churches that are oneness Pentecostal. In fact, one young lady was baptized in our church. They pulled her aside and said, we have really good news for you. We have a revelation. God gave us this prophecy. Oh, you're going to do such great things for God. But the person who's leading your church is a false teacher. Because he had you baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So they pulled out Acts chapter 2. And they deceived her. And she left our church. And we're not so happy. But guess what? She came to Bible talk on Tuesday. We'll see how that one goes. But it's been about a year and a half. We'll see how that goes. So that's about 20 or 25% of Pentecostals. Yeah.
John, dejando de lado el ejemplo del hombre, el ladrón con Jesús, de usarlo como ejemplo si se salvó o no, dejando al lado eso, para ti, ¿qué, y sin hacer un análisis exhaustivo del texto, para ti, ¿qué sí dice la Biblia?
Okay, putting aside the example of the thief, for you, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible do say about?
Sí, para ti, ¿qué dice la Biblia? ¿Qué sí dice la Biblia ahí en esa posición del texto?
Okay, on that example, not trying to explain if the thief was safe or not. But what does the Bible do say on that example of the thief?
The Bible says nothing about the thief.
La Biblia no dice nada del ladrón.
Except that one story. So we have to use our knowledge of theology.
Tenemos que utilizar nuestro conocimiento de teología.
Our knowledge of doctrine.
To
try to connect the dots, you know, to imagine what's going on here. So, Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. And paradise is not heaven. Paradise is that waiting place, yes? Sometimes called Hades. Right? And so, my opinion,
mi opinión,
the thief will be in heaven.
El ladrón estará en el cielo.
But the Bible doesn't say that.
Pero la Biblia no dice eso.
And I don't like to go beyond what's written.
Y no me gustaría ir más allá de lo que está escrito.
So maybe I don't understand your question.
Mejor, a lo mejor entiendo tu pregunta.
Are you asking what's the basis for whether somebody gets to heaven or not?
¿Estás preguntando sobre cuáles son las bases para saber quién sí va o no al cielo?
No, solamente quiero saber para John qué sí le dice ese texto a él.
Yeah, what does that history or text tells you?
It tells me that the worst sinner can repent.
Me dice que el peor pecador se puede arrepentir.
And that Jesus is really happy about that.
Y que Jesús es muy feliz de eso.
And he responds to that.
Y puede responder a eso.
He responds to faith.
Y reacciona a la fe.
And repentance.
Al arrepentimiento.
And he wanted us to remember that.
Quiere que recordemos eso.
He wanted us to remember,
quiere que recordemos,
even the worst sinner,
que aún el peor pecador,
even the murderer,
aún el asesino,
even with only a few hours left in their life,
aún unas cuantas horas,
even that person can repent.
Aún se puede arrepentir.
And God is patient.
Y Dios es paciente.
And God is loving.
Y Dios es amoroso.
And God wants to forgive.
Quiere perdonar.
And God doesn't want anyone to perish.
Y quiere que nadie se pierda.
In fact, God wants everybody to have eternal life. And this thief is a great example of that. But I don't see a lot of doctrine being taught here. I just learn about Jesus. So, I'm not sure if I'm answering your question. Okay.
Could it be that he's being baptized on fire at that time?
Yeah, he's suffering.
That's very funny. You want to write?
John, or you're telling me that he wasn't baptized because Christ hasn't died and then resurrected. That's the thing you were telling us right now, and you told us that the people on the Old Testament were going to be saved because they were on the pact before the death and resurrection of Christ.
Que si de casualidad podría ser que el ladrón fue bautizado en fuego, pero me acuerdo lo que dijo de los del Antiguo Testamento, que no podían ser salvos porque no había muerte resucitado Jesús, pero que pueden estar en el cielo.
Yeah, you're raising at least three different issues.
Estás levantando como dos o tres diferentes cosas.
Let's slow down.
Vamos a.
You said maybe that's the baptism of fire for this guy. I definitely don't agree with that. He's on the cross because of murdering somebody. Not because he's persecuted for Jesus. Alright. But then you go back to the Old Testament. Yeah, I wish it was simple, but it's not. The Christian message, very simple. Make Jesus Lord. Repent of your sins. Be baptized into Christ. But what about the Old Covenant? What about the Jews? How were they saved? That's more complicated. Because it says in Leviticus 18, I can't remember. He said, those who do these things will live by them. Alright, that's work salvation. Those who do the things of the Old Covenant will be saved by that. But how many people did that? None. And then there's the sacrifices, right? Those sacrifices were only for accidental sin. If you read in Exodus, chapter 4,
capítulo 4.
And two other times.
Y algunas otras
veces. It says these sins only are for sins done accidentally, or, you know what I'm saying?
Es para pecados hechos accidentalmente.
They weren't ever meant to cover willful sin.
Nunca fueron hechos para cubrir pecados intencionales.
We sponsored a debate several years ago.
Hace tiempo hicimos un debate a algunos años.
It had a very famous Muslim imam.
Y tenía un hombre musulmán muy famoso.
Shabir Ali.
What?
His name was Shabir Ali.
¿Ese era su nombre?
And it had the most famous rabbi in America.
El rabino más famoso en Estados Unidos.
Shmuley Boteach. Yeah, okay, I don't need you for that, huh? And then Doug Jacob, you know who Doug is. Yes? And so Doug asked Shmuley, Shmuley, you know that the sacrificial system was only for accidental sins. So he asked him, according to your understanding, how are you forgiven of willful sin? And he said, by repentance. And that's always been the case. Jesus is a lamb slain from the creation of the world. God looks through lenses through the blood of Jesus. Even before Jesus died, I believe he saw it that way. So salvation has always been by faith. It's always required repentance. But there's a big, big difference for us. We have promises. We have confidence. Could any Jew really be sure that they were going to make it to heaven? Not based on the sacrifices. So, again, the question of, you know, who's going to be in heaven? God works all that out. What about somebody in China, you know, 2000 BC? Romans 2 seems to raise some possible explanations there. But that's more of an intellectual discussion. Because we're living right now. And we have Bibles. And so, whether or not David's going to be in heaven, that's, God can work that out. I'm feeling pretty good about David. But he didn't have the promise that you and I have.
Right?
Like it says in Hebrews 11, they saw only from a distance. They didn't receive any of these promises. But we've received them all. So that's the main thing we should be thinking about. We need to get people to learn about Jesus. Call them to be a disciple. To repent and be baptized. Guaranteed, promise. The Jews didn't have those promises. Their promises were more about not being saved than being saved. Why was the law given? To make sin even more sinful, it says. In Romans 7. No, salvation has always been by faith. At all time. But, for us, it's simple. Okay.
Oops.
Now, did that answer every question that he raised?
Toda pregunta fue respondida.
All right. For us, simple. For all history, oh, it's a little complicated. It's, you know, we don't know. We just say, I don't know. Yeah. All right, I think we're running out of energy. I'll take more questions, but... Are you going to get out? You're going to get an hour early. ¿Tienen hambre? Sí, okay. No, okay.
¿Tú sí?
Yo. Yo. Un poco. Poco. Okay.
Sí. Muy bien. Vamos a terminar con oración, por favor. Amado Señor, queremos agradecerte lo que hemos aprendido hoy en relación al bautismo. Sabemos, Padre, que pues es un tema con un desarrollo